football on off the ball.
Cleared football ultra under Mourinho during the classical wars when it was Mourinho versus Guardiola. There were few, if any, players who were more belligerent, more committed to the Mourinho cause than Arbeloa.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koigig Pod on Off The Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of the Koigig Podcast. My name is Scarlett Heron and today I'm joined by Karen Duggan. We're going to talk about the latest transfer news and obviously the WSL returned after the Christmas and New Year break. So Karen, what's the crack? How was your Christmas and New Year?
Even lovelier to not have to head back into a pre-season after it and stay indoors, unlike you. How is the weather in Scotland?
It's actually not too bad. The sunshine at the minute. We've had a few cold spells since coming back, but to be honest, it's the same as home. So it's nothing that I'm not really used to. But yeah, I mean...
Have you turned into a glove wearer?
No, never. That is,
are
I will never
wearer,
be a skins wearer or
no,
a glove
never.
Wearer.
Okay.
No, it's not my style. So I'm still braving
the... You wouldn't
the...
be allowed back in Monaghan if you did, is it?
No, not a hope. But yeah, still braving the shorts and t-shirts so far. But yeah, I mean, a lot of transfer news at home as well in the league. There's lots of movements this time of year.
Too much movement, some might say. Don't know if I should get into it too deeply because I could get upset. And we want to start 2026 on a positive note.
Very fair, very fair. Well, we can go
the
into
big
the
one, though,
grand-
I guess we should talk about is Athlone's transfer news and the fact that they've one of their first, they've had a couple of a big transfer to WSL too.
Yeah, so we obviously had Kelly Brady during the week was announced that she's gone to Crystal Palace, which is obviously a great move for her. Seeing her speak in interviews, she's just excited. She always wanted to play in England. And obviously the season she had with that loan last year, Golden Boot, Player of the Year, you know, just an unbelievable talent to come into the league and to take it just by such a storm. It was only right that she got her move over to England. So a big miss, I'd say, for the league and for Athlone. But I think they'll do just fine with what they have, to be honest. I don't think it's bad that they're getting a bit weakened just based off how strong they were last year. But that's great for Kelly, obviously. And she's getting her call-ups as well at the minute. So I'm sure she'll only go... She was on the bench last night, I think, against Sheffield. So... great to see her get a few minutes for Palace. And then we have a few other bits of transfer news. Spurs are doing quite well. They have a few Scandinavians brought in. Martin Ho, who obviously was a brand for a number of years, has brought in a few reinforcements. And then obviously Micah Hamano as well from Chelsea coming on loan. And then we have a bit of a we had a rumour a bit closer to home about Denise O'Sullivan possibly heading to Liverpool to help out Gareth Taylor's struggling side.
Yeah, and look, I think everyone knew in the lead up to the January transfer window that Liverpool were really struggling and that they would need reinforcements. It doesn't look like there's a huge amount of backing financially in terms of buying players in. So looking at loan moves, especially from America, would seem like a clever move for Liverpool to go down. Obviously, you're not going to get much better than Denise O'Sullivan if that is something that she is interested in. But also, they're in such a tight spot at the minute. It would be a very tough environment to go into, I'd imagine. But maybe that freshness and the fact that she hasn't been, you know, around the kind of heaviness that the club has endured in recent times, maybe she could kind of spur them on a little bit in the dressing room. We know what a leader she is for Man United or for Ireland, and perhaps she could be that for Liverpool. They do need some sort of catalyst. I think Gareth Taylor was speaking again after their goalless draw this weekend, just about not being able to punish teams and not being able to get the end product, get those goals when they really, really need to. Obviously, they've been conceding as well, but you know they need to start putting a bit of end product together. And yeah, it's going to take new players because at the moment they're too light. You look at the bench, like they had a load of kids on it before Christmas, so they need to do something. Hopefully they can in the transfer window, because you can see that everyone is like shoulders to the grind. They're doing their best, but it's not quite clicking yet, and it's just so tight down there at the bottom of the league. Whoever does invest, and it might just take one player to make the difference.
Yeah, and if Denise was to make a move to the WSL, do you reckon that she is better than a Liverpool side to come into and play?
I think so, but at the same time, we know that Denise is, she's based in America. That's her home team. That's the team that she captains. That is and has to be her main focus. This would be a project for her, so it's a different type of project. Obviously, there's no relegation in America. It would be a new challenge for her, and some people have that mindset where they would like thrive in a challenge like that. So, and at the end of the day, she would be leaving to go back to her home club, where she like has a different kind of mindset going into that. So, yes, looking at her talent and sides in the WSL, do I think she could get into a team higher up in it? Yes, but Liverpool is a big club. To say you represent them, it's a nice one for the CV, but also if she did go in there and drag them out of this relegation battle, I mean, for her reputation again, that's only gonna. Not that she needs help with it, but it'd be another string to her bow.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think for all Ireland fans, it would be great to see her, in the WSL, where it's just more accessible for us, as like we watch the WSL every week. We don't necessarily get to watch North Carolina Courage every week. So I think that would, from that point of view, it'd be great, and get her maybe a bit more. I suppose she's never really in the limelight unless she's obviously playing for Ireland. Like, you don't see much about her online, whereas I think there's probably just a bit more media attention with the WSL that we've obviously seen grow the last few years. And I think as a player of her caliber, it's she deserves that sort of that hype around her name, because she is like such an unbelievable player. And another rumor, which will lead us on to the first game of the weekend, is Georgia Stanway possibly joining Arsenal at the end of the season. She announced that this will be her last year at Bayern Munich. Obviously, she's been there now for a number of years and is looking possibly at heading to London. So I think Arsenal could have used her in midfield on Sunday or on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought at the time that she went, it was actually a brave move, and I thought that her reasoning just to kind of expand her horizons and experience new cultures and stuff was very admirable, and it hasn't affected her performances for England. She's very much been a mainstay in that team. So now that she's done that, she probably is coming back and kind of saying, right, the WSL, the growth. And that's partly due to what the England national team have done, but the growth there it continues to be in the WSL compared to a lot of other leagues. And she obviously is still young, she has ambition. Arsenal are always going to be competing. This year it seems like a bit of a stretch, but also it will be a great move for Arsenal, because as much as we would like it, Kim Little can't play forever. So there might be kind of thoughts of a transition there, just in that midfield area. We haven't quite seen someone who is ready to take over from Kim Little yet, but if you get someone with, a couple of euros under their belt, that would be a pretty good start for Arsenal, if that's the way they're thinking. It would be a good signing for, any of the WSL teams, to be fair. But in terms of style of play, I do think Arsenal would be a good fit for her.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we've seen that the weekend, just with their sort of possession-based football, like she'd fit right in. You see that with England all the time, just controlling that midfield area for Ciara Walsh usually. So yeah, I mean, this game, I'm sure you were watching it, a draw with United, a bit of a dull affair. Arsenal obviously had all the momentum, as it's kind of summed up their season so far, as all the momentum, all the possession, and just can't seem to put the ball in the net. Valanciunas Joyce, but I think probably the player of the match performance. But Arsenal just, they keep trying and knocking on the door. And United, to be fair, we've talked about their defensive record, just stood proud and went down to 10 men and saw it out.
Yeah, they did. I mean, we're all looking forward to this game, because we're looking at that fight for Champions League and how that's going to go. Obviously, Arsenal are pipping that at the moment, because United now, before this game, had two draws, one win, two losses. So not in a great run of form. So for United, especially going to Clare Down, that is absolutely a point gained. And when you consider the possession stats, and it's mad, like you're right in saying it was a bit of a dull affair. Arsenal had, if you look at the stats, they had 25 shots. But a lot of them really came to nothing. They were six on target, and you could probably pick out, like you say, Tullis Joyce. She probably did two or three really good saves. But when you have that many shots and your shots on target and your conversion rate is not matching up, there's something wrong. And obviously, Renee Slegers after the match, she was happy that they're having more shots, but she was saying that they need to work on their belief. And like, striker is, it's a tough position. Usually it is the most confident player in the team that does play up front, but maybe that's just telling that there is a lack of confidence there at the minute. We saw Caldente, swiping at things that she never usually would. She's usually so composed. Obviously Russo worked really, really hard, but she didn't really get into the positions that she needed to really trouble within the box, which I think, is something that Arsenal really, really need to work on. United started the match brightly. First 15, they had the first chance of the game. I thought there was a link up with Park and Sandberg, and Rolfo had her header tipped onto the bar, and the game probably needed that to go in. Because once Arsenal got a foothold in the game, United really just dropped off. And like you say, they banked up. They probably recognised that the better team were on top, and they clung on in there. So a huge amount of respect for them for that. Obviously, as a fan, you want to see them kick on. But based on the run of form they've been in, it's definitely you take the point. And now they've got a better run of games coming up than Arsenal do. In the next three games, Arsenal have to go and play City and Chelsea. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Arsenal, Spurs, Man United positions in the table kind of go to and fro over the next little while.
Definitely. And I think for United, like when you're getting a player sent off, and for Riviera, I think like marking Olivia Smith in the first half, first hour maybe, like it's a hard task. Like we've seen what she can do, especially with a sort of better side this season. And then to dive in on that Caitlin Ford challenge and put your studs up is just ridiculous. When you're on a yellow card, like it's just so poor. But I suppose the last half an hour was kind of like, as you said, like just them sort of dropping off and recognizing that Arsenal were the on top team here. Like we've seen Leah Schuller, their new signing, come on for the last half hour or so, and I think the majority of times that I've seen her on the ball was trying to flick the ball on to, or like hold it up to get them any sort of grasp in the game and to get them up the pitch a bit, because the Arsenal's pressure was a bit relentless. And yeah, I suppose we're going to see now in the next few weeks where the table will lie, because there is that sort of gap between the top five now and the bottom half of the table. But even look at City, like 6 points clear, like absolutely kind of running away with it at this stage. It's whether it's a case now of whether they're gonna slip or not. And that game against Everton, just classic City, just putting it to bed. And meet them on Bunny Shaw when they play together is just class. I think like we miss that an
I
awful lot
think
when we don't always
that
injured.
goal, that goal was everything that Man City fans had envisaged and prayed for when Miedema was signed for City, the being able to play the two of them together. And usually you would have think the roles would be reversed, that Miedema would have been the one dropping in and playing the little dink ball, but Bunny Shaw, just perfect little ball over the top, and Miedema so assured in her finish. And it was a special goal, and it was going to take something special, because I know we talk about it all the time, but talk about facing shots. Man City had 32, 13 of them were on target. That shows how good they were, how exciting they are in attack, that they actually do create these really big chances. So Courtney Brosnan pulled off 13 saves. You're looking at the stats on your phone, the way they give player ratings, and you've lost 2-0 away from home, yet you're on an 8.6. Like, it makes no sense. But yeah, she was incredible again. 11 saves. like you'd speak about a player making a difference. So a player like Denise going into Liverpool and making a difference. Courtney is that player for Everton and has been over the last number of years. Like the way that Everton fans speak about Seamus Coleman, if you flip that onto the Everton team, Courtney has kept them in that league genuinely and has given them a chance to kind of grow a little bit. Now they're not out of trouble yet this year at all by any stretch. But at times they created a couple of chances. Obviously, they weren't clinical enough against a City team, and you really have to be. But they were resolute as well as having a really good performance from Courtney. But in terms of Man City, yeah, the train rolls on. Hard to see them getting stopped. Just because they're really well balanced. Like, thought Greenwood was really good. She gets up in support. She's a good defender. Then you've got balance in midfield. And then, yeah, what can you say about, especially with Hemp back now? And if they keep Hemp fit, you know that the supply is going to get there for the front two.
Yeah, like
And
they have.
Carolyn, like the names just
I
roll off your
know.
tongue.
It's like they have, without a doubt, the best front line in the entire league and possibly in the Europe at the minute. Like it's frightening when even, and it's one of those where you're not relying on Bunny Shaw because we've seen her slip in and out of form this season and, you know, be frustrated in games and maybe not get the goals that she's looking for. And then you have the likes of Carolyn Miedema Hemp to all step up and pitch in with goals as well. And yeah, as you said, like it's just a trend that I don't know will stop. Or like Jägerles, to be fair, has come in and he's done a great job at getting them all on side, because it's tough to come into a side that have probably suffered a lot of disappointments in the last few years. Like even though they've been like a mainstay in the WSL and always challenging, like to always come so close in so many competitions and, you know, to never get over the line. Obviously we'll have to see what happens this season, but he's really done a good job in there so far. And even like Alex Greenwood speaking after the game, just like having the break and coming back and being like, you know, you can lose momentum sometimes when you're on such a good run, and then a break can come at a bad time. Like it's nearly a month with the last league game, but just they just seem unstoppable, and the break has only seemed to help them.
Yeah, he did say that he felt like their timing was a bit off, but I mean, I think if they really had to go and score more goals, they would have. And I think you're talking about breaking of momentum. This time of year is a bit weird. You know, they've got the FA Cup and then they've got the League Cup. Now, the League Cup is against Chelsea. So do you do what you did last year and kind of go all out? Remember, Chelsea and City were playing three times in a row in various competitions because they have Chelsea again 2 weeks later in the league. I think based on the run of form that they're in and the fact that they have the WSL trophy in sight, I think that they write off that League Cup semi-final. And they don't give anything away against Chelsea. Sometimes, like you say, oh, you want to win everything, but it's been so long since City have won it, and that will have hurt them. They've got Arsenal the following week. So those 2 weeks, they're the ones that they need to be eyeing up as, you know, it could be one hand on the trophy by Valentine's Day for them.
Yeah, and it really is, like I'm just looking here. I know you're speaking about fixtures, like they really are. Like there's a really important few weeks coming up now. Like even I'm looking at Chelsea, we'll talk about them and West Ham now, but next league game, Arsenal, City, Tottenham, and like even Spurs have had a good season so far and they've kind of had a bit of a transformation. But I mean, Chelsea are definitely keeping the pressure on with this 5-0 win over West Ham. Was really never in doubt, and just West Ham getting off the worst possible start with like a really unfortunate own goal. It's one of those where the ball's just drilled across so quickly. And I think, to be honest, I think Ellie Carpenter has to go down as one of the signings, you know, of the year. Like she's just been immense, and like that, she's really similar. She's similar in ways to Baltimore, where they're just so like attack focused all the time, but
Direct, yeah.
she offers a lot of balance as well, even in defense. And I think the two of them like are just they're killers out wide. I suppose
Yeah.
when you're playing with that system of wing backs, you worry sometimes that you might get exploited out there, but it's just when they
They have
offer
too
so
much
much.
pace, you know. They have too much pace, and they can af their three centre backs can afford to stay narrow. And obviously, you've got Girma coming back in, that brings a lot of athleticism to the back line. Thompson then stretches all of the defence running at players. So there's loads of space for the fullbacks to get up and support. But I think you're right, Carpenter, like, say for the third goal, I think there was a pretty like weak cross play to her. She had, or pass played to her. She had no right to get there, but she just like put the burners on and zoomed past the West Ham defender, and it led to the Thompson goal. But yeah, she's been brilliant for them, and they don't need to worry about the can her and Bronze play together, because Bronze can obviously go back further. We've seen Carpenter kind of switch there. There's it's yeah, they had a poor start, but I'd imagine Chelsea will keep the pressure piling on now that they're getting more and more players back fit. Sam Kerr obviously coming off the bench again, so she's nearly there. Obviously a lot of competition now that Thompson and James are fit as well. But yeah, you really are looking at the 1st of February. If Chelsea win that, it's game on. And you wouldn't put it past them just because they're so used to being in those high pressure situations. It's just whether anyone can actually stop the Man City momentum. No matter how good Chelsea are, that momentum really can be very, very telling.
Yeah, and like no matter what happens, Chelsea are going to be looking for favors off other teams. It's all in Man City's hands. I know they play each other again at six pointer, but I think it's having to rely on another team to beat them, or else two teams maybe to get a draw off them, which at this stage just looks so unlikely.
Not when you see how Arsenal and United and
Are all playing.
are, like, it's hard to see them
Yeah.
toppling them.
Yeah. And even for West Ham, like, it really, really bad day at the office. Like, we've
Really
seen the
bad.
first goal come in a few seconds into the game. Second goal's even worse. Just goalkeeper says Mc tries to clear it, comes off, James is back. And then we see their new signing, Estelle Cascarino, looking to come on for her debut, after they seem to be losing two of their, starting defenders. Tiziak is going to, I think, Union Berlin, and then Anouk Denton to BFC, and she can't come on because she has an earring in her ear that can't be taken out.
I mean, like, when things are going bad, they're really going bad, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, how stuck in there was that earring? Like, get the pliers out. Like, find a way. Your team needs you. Get on the pitch. You should know better anyway. We had a similar situation in a league match at PMM before. One of the girls had a nose ringing, and we literally had the pliers out and couldn't get her on. And we just said, bring someone else on. We were down to 10 players. It was criminal. But, like,
Yeah,
you
no,
know the rules. You're a
it's
professional
ridiculous.
athlete, you know the rules. And yes, maybe they should have just let her on with the plaster, but, like, come on.
I know, it's
If I was
basic
a manager
stuff.
now, there'd be a big fat fine for that, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that worship's fine anyway, but just when you think your day can't get any worse, you go on to bring your new signing on and
And even the
that happens.
penalty was harsh. Like, everything went against them. The first and second goals were just one misfortunate, one terrible, and then the penalty, if it was a 2-0 loss, you take that as West Ham. You kind of say, oh, there's something to work from here, the same way Everton did against Man City. But 5-0, that's when you're in a relegation battle and you're off the back of a tough 2025. That's not how you want to start your year.
Yeah, especially for a new manager coming in as well. But speaking of bad days, Ashley Neville did not have the best
Oh,
debut.
God.
Ashley Neville has been at Tottenham Hotspur for probably as long as she can remember, and made the move over the Christmas period to Leicester, and on her debut for Leicester, playing her old club, she scored the only goal of the match, but unfortunately it looks like she forgot what team she was on because she scored an own goal. And they lost 1-0.
Yeah, I mean,
Apart from this,
it was one of those corners. It's a difficult one to deal with. There was Suminen whipped a ball into the front post, but there wasn't a huge amount of pressure on from Spurs across the front post. I think it was miscommunication between the keeper and her, or the communication coming too late, and you're kind of half in the air, and you had just. You can't go back then, which is a pity for Leicester, because I thought they were pretty bright at times. I thought on the counter attack, Mailing was good. O'Brien got up well, and Mouchon was bright for them. But yeah, when like that, when things aren't going for you, they're just not going for you. But Spurs, yeah, it's a win under their belt, and the fact that they're ahead of United, they're breathing down Arsenal's neck. They won't really care that it wasn't an A-plus performance from them. They've got, like you said earlier, Hamano in now. Like that's a big one. They've done well in the transfer window. They're showing ambition there. So, like, would you? I wouldn't bet against. None, just because I do feel like this is a different Spurs to what we've seen before. I think there's a lot more resolve in them. They're not as headless and gung-ho and all-out attack, that they've got a bit more balance this year. Obviously, I'm hoping for United that that's not the case and they've got a harder run of games, but 3 points straight back at the start of 2026 to get up into fourth, they'll be very, very happy.
Yeah, definitely. And there's new signings coming as well, won't hurt. We've seen Signe Gopset, I think, for her debut, who obviously will take a while to adjust, but she seems like a really exciting
Thought she
player.
was positive. Yeah, just her final product didn't kind of have a huge amount of conviction, but I thought that she was positive in her movements.
No, definitely. And that can only help. I did think that they were probably lucky enough not to rue their missed chances because they just had so many opportunities. Like the balls into the box were really a killer, but it's just like the final sort of cutting edge to put it in the net, like just lacked a wee bit. But I think, as you said, a much improved side under Martin Ho. And I'd say like they're looking up at the table going, we could potentially challenge for a European place here because based on how, as you said, Manchester United and Arsenal are playing, you wouldn't put it past them to have a few more slips. And like it is looking really tight between the three of them. So I'll be interested to see. It would be obviously a successful season for Tottenham if they manage to get into Europe. But
Oh, it'd be
yeah,
huge,
it's
yeah. Absolutely
be
huge.
massive for them. We'll move on to Aston Villa and Brighton. Aston Villa went 1-0 down and then two quickfire goals in the second half and they've seen out the game. What do you think of this one?
Well, I think it was all about the goal. Hansen's goal to put them 2-1 up and turn it around was an absolute cracker. You know, she just hit across it, got top corner. And she's six in the last nine games for a team that was kind of stuttering at the start of the league, and they've kind of clawed their way up the table a little bit. Before the match, obviously Brighton were ahead of them. They switched places with this win. And yeah, look, it was pretty even game. I thought that for the most part at the start that Brighton were good, but again they didn't take their chances when they were on top, and that gave Aston Villa a sniff. Daly's header to level it was brilliant, and then obviously to concede again within another 2 minutes, that was a real hammer blow for Brighton. So yeah, back-to-back home wins for Villa. That's something that they needed. They needed their form to turn around at home if they're going to kind of progress and push on a little bit. Like there's still a gap, big gap between them and the Man United, who are in fifth. But in terms of the best of the rest, that's certainly that Villa will want to be in. They're in sixth now, and I think that that's probably a position they need to be aiming for to end up at the end of the season. But yeah, I thought Brighton were maybe the better team in the game. Just unfortunate, didn't have the full shooting boots on.
Yeah, and I suppose like Brighton haven't really kicked on this season as we were kind of talking about at the back end of last year, how things might be looking up for them, but have just kind of, staggered a little bit. And then like for Villa, I think that like I think Kirsty Hansen has been probably their star player this season. Like I think she's just been incredible in the big moments, popping up. I think that's her sixth goal of the year. So really, really impressive from her. And obviously, as you said, yeah, it's important for Villa now to maintain that. And like it's a big win at that sort of end of the table. And you don't again looking up and you're looking at teams that are out of form. They could pick up points here and there against the bigger teams. So be interesting to see where they finish up. And then another team that had an interesting sort of few weeks off is London City, who have switched managers. Michelle Kang was saying that they want a coach that will bring sort of a new style of football in that can help them push for European football in 2027, which is very close. So Adair Maestre took over from Jacqueline Preschoir's over the break, and he wants to bring in this whole new style that we didn't see anything of really in their draw with Liverpool, which was probably the worst game of the season, I'd say, in
Yeah,
terms of
we didn't see
entertainment.
anything of anything. We did not see a shot on target. We did not see too many really big misses. We just saw a proper stalemate of a game. I think Bergstrom had a decent chance with a chip that she kind of went for on her debut. I'm not sure if she meant to chip it. But yeah, she was again had a good debut, but again lacked that kind of clinical edge. So maybe that will come with time and she's more confident and settled within the team. If we're looking for positives from the game, first clean sheet for Liverpool this season. I guess we're clutching at straws here. And then on the
I
flip side
mean,
of that, London City are on a little bit of a slide. You know, they haven't scored in three games. And at the start of the season, we were all praised for how they were going for it and getting on the score sheet and having these high scoring matches. But yeah, the new style, it'll be interesting to see if this is possible with this group of players mid-season.
yeah, and I do think, just touching on the sort of managerial change, like it's a really I think a weird thing to be doing at this stage. Like he was only like Preschoir's was only new in the job, and like we were talking about sort of how they're trying to play this exciting brand of football where they play out from the
Total
back and
football, yeah.
they get balls forward. Now it did cost them a few goals at times, but like they were standing up to the bigger teams in the league and trying to establish their own brand. And to sort of scrap it halfway through the year where they're actually doing quite well for like they're a newly promoted side, it's just really strange. Now
So
obviously we'll see how
strange.
the new guy gets on, but I just thought that was it came out of nowhere.
It's out of nowhere. And like you said, they were doing really well. Like before, they were in sixth. You know, that's amazing for your first like foray into the WSL. They were doing incredible. So I don't know are the expectations that they would have been getting Europe in year one, but that's not really how it works. Just because you bring in a raft of new players, you need to give them time to bed in and get to know each other and build those connections, and similarly build a connection with the manager. And now they kind of have to start from scratch there again, and the manager has to get to know all the players. And it can be a little bit unsettling if you weren't expecting it. You know, sometimes you bring in new manager change because your things aren't going well. But yeah, it was one of those, it raised a few eyebrows.
And I feel like this is the first time that sort of a managerial sort of saga in the WSL or in women's football has felt similar to like the men's side, like we see at the minute, like 10 managers getting sacked in the last 2 weeks in the men's game. And especially if you look at like Man United on the men's side, where they just keep rotating in and out and sacking whoever they don't fancy. It felt like that, and it felt like Michelle Kang sort of has so much power and influence and ultimately money that you can say if you don't fancy a manager, and you can just say, right, we'll just pay you out the rest of your contract and we'll get this new person in. And you just wonder, is this going to be the way for London City? Sort of very I suppose short term focused, and just sort of looking for, obviously they apparently want Champions League or Europa League football in 2027, which is really, really soon. So you'd think maybe what is their sort of strategic plan looking like? Is this the next 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, or is this just the best interest of the next 18 months? Do you know?
Yeah, look, we haven't a clue. They're just, it's too new, the whole regime. It's too new to tell what they're going to be like. But if they are, Scarlett will give us something to talk about anyway.
That's it. Yeah, that's great. Another one that I just missed, going back to Aston Villa and their push, obviously they brought in Jean-Francois from Chelsea, which I think is their club record signing. So she's obviously a player that didn't get much game time in the last while because just obviously the talent that's at Chelsea at the minute. But I think she's going to be a really, really exciting signing for them going forward, and definitely showed a great intent from them to go out and spend big money. I think it was nearly £500,000 spent. So I think that's really positive to see, like a a big money transfer from a team maybe outside the top three or four teams as well.
Big time, and hopefully we'll see a few more before the end of the transfer window, because it does it adds to the league, it adds to the excitement. Like you say, Schürrle going to Man United, they're so well known in Germany. It'll bring more German eyes to the game. You've now got Rolfo, who's a really big name there. So in terms of Man United, strategically, these are great players, but they're also, well known and good for marketing purposes and stuff like that. So I think that that's really great. I do think Man United still need to bolster a little bit to compete. And especially if you're looking at Aston Villa, who are just below you, and they're putting these big money moves out. It'll be interesting to see if they'll sign anyone else. Obviously, Spurs have already done quite a bit of business. It'd just be interesting to see it in the WSL. It's rare enough that we get a big January. It's usually all done in the summer, but we shall see.
So this weekend we have FA Cup action in the Women's League. So we have lots of different fixtures with lots of different non-league and WSL and Championship sides. So be interesting to see if there's any shocks come next week. But for now, I think that's us for this week. Thanks, Karen, for joining me today on our own again to defend for ourselves. So the Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, proud sponsors of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team. We'll see you very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.